on my heart and mind. Philippians chapter number 4, and we're going to go ahead and start reading in verse 1 and read the first 7 verses of the chapter this morning, if you will. Philippians 4:1, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, my brethren dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eutychus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice," here's where the verses are the Lord's had in my mind this week, "rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Let's go ahead and read verse 8. Brother Brent mentioned this Wednesday night. I'm not going to talk about this verse this morning. "But finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you this morning for everything that you've done. We thank you for allowing us to be here. It's only by your grace and mercy that we're here this morning. Dear Lord, you're the one that's given us the freedom to meet as we're meeting this morning in our country, and I say thank you for that. Dear Lord, you're the one that's given us the health to be here this morning, to get out of bed and to be able to make it, and I say thank you for that. Dear Lord, you're the one that's given us the safety, dear Lord, on the way to church this morning, whether we come from 30 minutes away or 10 minutes away or just 5 minutes away. Dear Lord, whatever distance we came this morning, you gave us the safety to be here this morning. And dear Lord, you gave us the health and the ability and the strength. Dear Lord, it's because of you we're here this morning. We say thank you for that. And dear Father, I pray this morning for those that can't be here due to different things. I think especially Tom and Maria, that you'd help them get to feeling better, touch their bodies, dear Lord. For any others that I may have missed, dear Lord, help them touch their bodies, dear Lord, as well. And dear Father, I pray this morning that you would take, as we open your word, as we look at these verses that you've pressed upon my heart this week, I pray that you would press them upon our hearts, my heart still even, dear Lord, and each and every person's heart here. Help us to apply these verses, to use them in our day and hour and time that we live, and help us, dear Lord, to practice these things in our lives. Thank you for everything that you've done. I pray your Holy Spirit would accomplish your will this morning, this place. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know about you, but this has been a unique week. If you'd agree with that, say amen. And then again, we could say that about every week, right? As soon as I make statements like that and those thoughts come to my mind, I think, well, every week's unique, every week's special, every week's different, you know. You always have unique things happen, and if you really look at it. And even those ho-hum, normal weeks, you still got some things that, you know, unique that happen if you really examine it. But I guess the reason why I say that, I'll just go ahead and get to the point this morning, is because of the coronavirus. Amen. That has been something that's made this week, in my opinion, unique, right? What week is it that you take in, you turn on your news, and you see the stock market plunge to a record in one day? What week is it that you take in a day or two later, somebody gets up, makes a little speech, and all of a sudden it soars like it did? What week is it? It's been a unique week. You take and you think it's a unique week when the President of the United States has been on TV every single day this week, giving a speech about something. All in one week to ban travel to certain places and cut off borders and all these things, people coming in, people coming out, declare a national emergency. You think about it's a unique week, right? There's been a lot that has taken place from last Sunday to this Sunday. There's been a lot of things, and some of us maybe have watched the news and kept up with things more than other people. But either way, we all have an idea of all the stuff that has went on and taken place, especially in the last week. In light of all that, the Lord has pressed two different verses I mentioned a while ago, passages in my heart and in my mind for today. And I thought about that and I said, you know, I know how I felt this week, and no doubt there's some people that's felt similar to me. And I'll just get it out there. There's a lot of people that's worried. There's a lot of people that's fearful. There's a lot of people that's upset. There's a lot of people that's panicking. There's definitely some people out there that are angry, no doubt. There's a lot of false news and true news out there, and it's causing a lot of those just emotions that I named and a whole lot more emotions that I didn't name, right? And there's a lot of that. But the bottom line is, this week, I would say emotions in most the average person that's hearing my voice today, and most the average people in America, their emotions this week have been on maybe a little bit more of a roller coaster than normal. Even if it was only for a few minutes or a few seconds, and then you kind of calm back down again, if you will. But no doubt some of us have faced some of that this week, and maybe some come in here this morning kind of feeling, if you will, worried or anxious, if you will, about all the things that we see and going on and taking place around us. You think about that today, and it's a lot due to this illness and different things, and maybe even some economy things you're worried about due to all that. You know, how's this going to affect me when it comes to bills and all this type of stuff? After all, most of us live paycheck to paycheck, right? You know, and so you think about, how's this all going to affect us? Well, may I say this morning, let's look at Philippians 4. And these verses, if you're one of the unique people and you're sitting here this morning, and there may be somebody in the room that feels this way, this week's not bothered me a bit. I'm not worried about it. This message still applies to you this morning. It still applies to you, because what's went on this week might not bother you, although I think, for all honest, it's done something to a point anyway. Maybe not as bad as some other people. But we've all going to have something in our lives, if we live long enough in the coming days, weeks, and months, where what we're going to talk about this morning, we're going to need. Amen? And you're going to need in your heart and in your life, if this has not affected you, something else will be coming down the pipe that will, and we need these verses as believers. As humans, we need these verses as the beloved, as the brethren, as he's talking to the brethren here, they needed to know these things. He said, rejoice in the Lord always, in verse number 4, and again I say, rejoice. I ask you a question. We have a command here from the Lord in verse number 4, I believe, and the command is what? Does anybody see it? Rejoice in the Lord. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord. No matter what we face, no matter what circumstances may be, no matter what may happen tomorrow, no matter what may happen the next hour from now that may be announced on the news scene, and boy, it's been happening a lot of things quick this week, you think about, rejoice in the Lord. When? When are we supposed to rejoice in the Lord? When does it say? What time frame are we supposed to rejoice in the Lord? When things are good? When everybody's healthy? When there's no pandemic, epidemic, virus? When everything's going great? When the weather's nice outside? We had some good weather this week, amen. We can't say nothing negative about that. But when are we supposed to rejoice in the Lord? What does the verse say? Always. Amen. In other words, we're always to rejoice in the Lord. Amen. In Him we can always, and we ought to be always rejoicing. Amen. We ought to be rejoicing in all things. In the Lord we ought to be rejoicing. During the time frame is always. Amen. And in case we missed it the first time, I think it's a kind of re-emphasizing or restating it again. Always, and then what? Again I say, rejoice. In case you missed it the first time, he says, or just to put it there for extra emphasis, you need to rejoice in the Lord. Amen. Again, I say rejoice. So we see this morning, the first thing here in this message is simply rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You can title this message however you want to title it this morning, but kind of the thought that the Lord gave to me, if you will, before we get into it, I meant to give it to you sooner. But the thought that the Lord gave to me this morning from these verses is simply, are you worried? Are you worried? Because you think about this morning, what we ought to do is rejoice in the Lord. That's our command. You say, but you don't know what I got going on in my life. Is right now always? Yes. It doesn't matter what you've got going on in your life right now. I'm not making light of it. I'm not saying it's not a serious thing. I'm not saying the things in the news aren't serious things. I think some people take them too serious, amen, to the extreme, and are shaking in their boots and grinding their teeth off and locking their doors and not, you know, and all this type of stuff. And then I think some people ain't taking them serious enough. They're just disregarding it totally. And neither one's the right thing to do, amen. You think about simply today, we need to realize, though, no matter where we are, we need to rejoice in the Lord. Amen. As God's children, we've got plenty to rejoice in. Amen. Worst case scenario is that you wake up tomorrow, you have the coronavirus, or you find out later today, and what happens? Let's say you are one of those special, unique ones, despite whatever age you are, and you wind up dying from it. Guess what? That's the worst case scenario, right? But where are you going to be if you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? You're going to be in heaven. Amen? So rejoice in the Lord always. Get ready to rejoice when you make it to heaven, whether it be by that sickness, whether it be whatever you're worried about that's taking place today. Go ahead and practice. Get ready for it. Amen? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Amen? And so you think about today, in one way, the worst case scenario might be the best, depending on how you look at it. But just rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Then after that, he goes into verse number 5, which is, I think, a command here. Some people might argue a request because of the word let, but I think he's saying let. This is what you need to do. Let this take place in your life. But he's saying, let your moderation be known unto all men. Now, some people get a lot of different ideas when you get to this verse. Some people talk about moderation in drinking, and so I can drink, you know, and all this craziness. They need to look up the word moderation, okay? You take and you look up the word moderation here, and the word moderation has this idea, which surprised me. I'll be honest with you this morning. It didn't mean what I thought it meant. Okay, I'm going to admit to you something this morning. I learned a lot through looking at these verses. The word moderation does not mean a balance. It does not mean moderate in the things that you do. It don't mean Democrat or Republican and independent. That's not what it means. It don't mean in the middle. It doesn't mean moderate in those type of senses like we think of a moderate today. The word moderation means this: gentleness, mildness, or patience. Gentleness, mildness, or patience. In other words, our moderation, our gentleness, our mildness, our patience ought to be made known to, who does it say? All men. Amen. In other words, a lot of times you think about here, we don't have no problem showing moderation to those that we love. Amen. To those that we care about. Amen, if you will. To our family members, our brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, our best friend or whatever have you. We don't have no problem showing gentleness and kindness to them and patience with them. Maybe children, some of us have a little more patience with them and gentleness and mildness possibly. Or, you know, whatever elderly person possibly, you know, that's having some struggles or different things like that. But the Bible doesn't go into different categories. It says our moderation should be made to who? All men. Amen. So who should we, our moderation be made known to? To everybody. Who are we to show it to then? Everybody. Amen. Everybody, we ought to show our moderation, our gentleness, our mildness, and our patience, if you will. When I thought about those three words describing this definition of moderation, there's one word that comes to my mind, and that's the word meekness. Amen. Meekness. I believe we could say that here as a good way of describing this word moderation is that we ought to be meek. Amen, people. If you think about the Lord Jesus Christ, back to the Sermon on the Mount, He made the comment, blessed are the meek. Amen. You think about, we need to have a meek spirit. You think about the Lord had that, if you will, a gentleness, a mildness, a patience, if you will, about us. You think about this means to all men. We talked about a few weeks ago, I believe it was on a Sunday night. I asked y'all a question, and to me it's a deep question, but yet it's simple. You know, a lot of times the deepest things are the simplest things, at least in my opinion. But you think about, I asked the question, the word all, what does it mean? And some of y'all said everything or the whole or the sum and things like that we got into. And we talked about, y'all told me the good definitions for the word all. And then But you think about the word all, we come to the conclusion, I ask y'all this question, well then, what does all mean? Explain. We can give a definition a lot of times, but explain it. That word all is kind of hard to explain because you wind up a lot of times doing what? Saying the same thing you just said. Amen? In other words, it's hard to explain it because simply it's everything. Simply it is all. And so in other words, when we see that word in this verse, our moderation is something we're to show to everybody. Amen? To the lost world? Yes. To all those around us that are teaching and doing false things? Guess what? Yes. Amen. To those that are preaching the same message we are. Yes. Amen. No matter whether somebody believes or don't believe or whatever, it doesn't make a difference. All means all. Amen. To all men, we're to show our gentleness, our mildness, and our patience, and it should be known to all people. Amen. That should be known. When they look at me, when they look at you, they say, you know what? Kelly, she's a moderate person. I'm not talking about political party, right? She shows her moderation in the way she handles things. Amen? She doesn't get frazzled. She doesn't get mad. She doesn't get upset. She doesn't get angry. She doesn't get worried. Amen? She doesn't panic. She just is moderate in the things she does. She's mild. She's gentle. She's patient. Now you tell me, how hard is that to do every day in your life? That you have the reputation that all men let your moderation be made known unto all men. I think about this. I give you an example. I think most of the time I'm a pretty moderate person. I could be wrong, but I think most of the time. There's times I get wound up about stuff. I do. We all do, right? But I say that to say this. I remember one day at work years ago, and I've told y'all the story before, so I'm going to skip part of the story. I've told you the details of it before. There was a guy at work I couldn't get along with. I've told y'all about that before and how I tried to handle that with him. And I took and lost my temper. I lost my cool. I got mad. I got upset, but I didn't lose it as bad as he did, you know. But I kept my cool to a point, I guess you would say. But my words and my anger was not kept moderate, amen, in the way I was dealing. It wasn't mild, it wasn't gentle, and it wasn't being patient neither. But you know what? My boss after that, who was a Christian guy, store manager, he come to me and he made this comment. And it's always stuck with me and bothered me and been a warning for the future for me, I guess is what I'm trying to say. He made this comment, Mr. Price. He looked at me and he said, Gerald, he said, I didn't never know you could get so upset like that. He said, I've never seen you act like that before and lose your cool like that. Did I say any bad words? No. But you always a pretty calm person about things. He said, I've never seen you like that before. And that kind of smote my heart because I thought, here I was in this situation. I was right about what I was saying, but I had the wrong attitude. And I had ruined because then, ever since then, he said comments like this. He'd make the comment. He said, now, if you get Gerald riled up enough, I'm telling you, I've seen him before. I lost that testimony to a point that I had. I'm simply saying today, he said, let your moderation be made known unto all men. Amen. Even the ones that try to push those right buttons, if you will. Let your moderation be made known unto all men. Let them know that. Amen. That all men means our friends, our family. Oh, help us. Our brothers and sisters in Christ, our pastor, our co-workers. Help us again, Lord. Our enemies. We talked about them a few weeks ago. They ought to know our moderation. Paul said, let your moderation be known unto all men. But you know, one thing I like about the Bible is a lot of times, most of the time, when the Lord tells us to do something, a lot of times He just don't tell us to do it just for the sake of doing it. Right? In other words, He gives us what? Why? You notice that a lot of times He tells us why. Not every time, but a lot of times. Here the Lord tells us why. Notice the next part of the verse. Why should we let our moderation be made known unto all men? The Lord is what? At hand. In other words, what is He saying here? You ought to be mild, gentle, patient. Why? Because the Lord's coming. Because the Lord is at hand. Amen. Now you can take this two different ways, this phrase at hand. I'm going to tell you both ways and I'm going to tell you the way I take it. Okay? And you can take it either way and it's fine, I think. But the first way is you can say the Lord's at hand in the fact that the Lord's always with you. Amen. In other words, be moderate, be mild, be gentle. Why? Because God's always with you. God's always watching. He's at hand. He's with you in your life every day, everywhere you go. That's one way. The way I take it is the way it's used a lot of other times in Scripture when this phrase is used is simply this, that you need to let your mildness, gentleness, meekness be there. These things we talked about, this moderation. Why? Because the Lord is coming back. Because you don't have long to endure whatever it is or whoever it is that you're dealing with. Rejoice in the Lord. Have your moderation. Because the Lord's coming back real soon. You're not going to have to deal with it very long. That's the way I see it. Now you can take it either way you want to take it. But the Lord is at hand. The words at hand I thought was pretty interesting. They are one word in the Greek, and I'm not going to go try and say it. But you can take a look it up later if you'd like to. But it has the meaning of near or nigh. Near or nigh. That it is right here on the doorstep. And then it went into saying this, which I thought was real interesting in the Strong's. Right after it goes those words, the words at hand means near or nigh. At hand, it means this. To squeeze the throttle. To push the throttle. To squeeze the throttle. To throttle something. Amen. In other words, simply, I think we could put it this way here. What he's saying is the Lord's at hand. In other words, God's foot is, guess what? It's on the gas pedal. Amen. He's squeezing the throttle. His foot's on the gas pedal. Guess what? Let your moderation be known because His foot's on the gas pedal. Amen. And it ain't going to be long. We're getting ever closer every day. The Lord's not slack. Ain't that what the Bible says in another verse? That kind of sounds like a foot on the gas pedal to me. Amen. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. Amen. As men count slackness, but as long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. A lot of people say, well, God's been saying He's going to come back for years, and you Christians been, hold on, God's not slack, God's got the hand on the throttle, He's got the pedal to the metal, He's squeezing it, and He's giving you that last opportunity, but it's coming very fast. Amen? He's squeezing the pedal, folks. He's squeezing the pedal. He's revving up the engine, if you will. Amen? Things are revving up. It's getting ready to be time. You think about the pedal is to the metal. That's what he's saying here. The Lord is at hand. Amen. He's squeezing the throttle. He's got the pedal down, if you will. Don't think God's slacking. He's not slacking at all. He's got the pushing the gas pedal. Amen. On the rapture. Amen. The gas pedal has been pushed. Amen. The Lord is at hand. It's right there. It's on the doorstep. It could happen at any minute, any time, any place. Therefore, because of the fact the Lord's at hand, He's pushing the gas pedal. We're right there. Amen. It's near. It's nigh. Guess what we need to do? Let our moderation be made known. Because we ain't got long. Amen. We ain't got long. You think about, He said, let your moderation be made known unto all men. But the third verse, it says this. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. That word careful does not mean walk around on your tiptoes. Don't be careful about anything you do in your life. Live reckless. That's not what God's saying here. Amen. We know that. I hope most of us do. Be careful means anxious, worried, and I'm going to give you a further part of that definition in just a minute. To anxious or worried. Let's read the rest of the verse. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In other words, simply this morning, Paul is telling them here, the Philippians, he's saying, hey, I want you to realize something. Don't be worried. Don't be anxious. Now, what did he say? Nothing. Right? Nothing. Don't matter what it is. Whether it's corona, whether it's cancer, whether it's the flu, whether it's whatever it is, whether it's a situation in your life, a financial thing, a spiritual thing, a mental battle you're going through, God said, be careful for nothing. Amen? You say, but my goodness, that's easier said than done, and it is. But I remind you this morning, the Lord is at hand. Amen? You ain't got long to deal with this. Amen? So look at the fact the Lord's coming back soon. Look at the fact this thing's almost over. Look at the fact that He's got His foot down on the gas pedal. Reminds me of what I think was said in the book of Revelation where John said, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." Amen? Say that with him. Amen? Say that as a believer. "Come on, Lord Jesus. I'll help me to show moderation while I'm still here." Amen? "And help me to rejoice in the Lord like You've commanded me to, if You will. And be careful and worry and get anxious, if You will, about nothing." But the thing I found interesting about this word "careful" here, I never saw before, when it's talking about it, the anxious or worried or careful, the word that's used here in the Scripture, it has this idea. What happens a lot of times when you get worried about something? There's a lot of things that happen, right? But what happens a lot of times when you get worried about something?
You make you get sick.
Get sick, make mistakes. Right? You know what else happens? You get distracted. That's what this word "careful" has the implication of. In other words, that sometimes when we get so worried about something and so anxious about something, when it says be careful for nothing, guess what we do? We get our eyes off the goal. I'll give you a perfect example. How many times have we seen this happen? I think about this happened just last year, year before one. I was watching the Panthers game. And I was sitting there watching. I can't remember if it was McCaffrey or somebody. They broke loose for a big old run down the field. I think it was the Panthers. They broke loose for a big old run down the field. And there was nobody that was, I mean, they were way out there, nobody in front of them, them and the goal line. But you know, in the NFL, they got a lot of things nowadays they used to not have. And like the Panthers stadium, on each end of the stadium, if you've ever been there, they have two of these. They have one at one end of the stadium, one at one end of the stadium above each end zone. They have a screen, a giant screen. You go to some places, they have it, you know, something somehow on all four sides. But you see those giant screens. And that runner was running. I can't remember who it was. They were running, and guess what? Rather than looking at that goal line, guess what they did? They become careful about who might be behind them. In other words, they become anxious or worried about who might be behind them. They had a clear shot to the goal line, but you've seen them as they run. They were sitting here going like this, looking up to see, and then I seen them once they saw that and saw who was behind them, then they went like this. You ever seen them do that? And every time they take, 99% of the time, when they take and they go like this, which is a new thing, you used to not see that, you used to not have those, right? But you'd see them go like this, you can bank on it, what's going to happen? They're going to get tackled. Why? Because they're worried, they're anxious, right? They're careful, to use the word of the Scripture here, and they got distracted from what the goal was. Because they were so worried about who was behind them. You think about that's what this word means here when he says, be careful. In other words, don't take and be anxious or worried, because when you do, guess what goes with anxious and worried? Distraction. That's all your mind can think about. Amen? You think about right now, if you're not careful and you listen to the news too much, and I've listened to a lot of it this week, you can become anxious and worried so much to the point that all you think about is corona, corona, all day long, corona. Right? Sometimes if you take and you turn on your TV and you see all the shootings, all you can think about is the shootings, am I going to get shot when I go out? Right? You become so fearful of whatever it is. Oh, I got this bill due. 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 That's all you think about. You worry about it, but what else happens with the worry? You become distracted. Mm-hmm. Right? And then how many times have we become so focused on one thing that all of us have done this, we look up and we say, you know what? I forgot to do that today. I was supposed to do that. You know why we forgot it? Because we were being careful. We got distracted because of how much we was worrying about something else. We missed it. That's what he's saying here. Be careful for nothing. You say that's hard to do. I know it is. But that's what the Lord told us here, and He'll help us to do this, I believe. Today we often worry about things we'll never experience in our lives. We all do it, whether we want to admit it or not, before they happen, or if they ever even do happen. Even if they do, we can't control them. Amen? I'm going to be honest with you. Don't take this wrong. I'm walking around with one of these in my pocket now, and I've never done that before in my life. You say, are you scared? No, I'm not scared, but I'm trying to take precautions. Amen? I'm trying to be smart right now. Amen? Does that mean I'm fearful and scared and worried because I got this in my hand? No. It just means I'm being smarter. Amen? Right? And maybe I ought to have been smarter all along. Amen? I hope you don't mind me sharing this, but I think about when me and Brother Neil took our trip to visit you in Michigan. I learned something from Brother Neil I never thought about before. He's more cautious than I am, and smarter, I guess is the right word to say, than I am about these things. He always keeps his pen, don't you? I bet you got a pen in your pocket. Right there. You know why? Tell him why. Same reason you told me.
Exactly. I don't want
germs. You don't know how many people's been touching all them pens you're messing with. Right? I think that's not being worried. That's being smart. Amen. That's taking precautions about things. Amen. Yeah, amen. That too. Amen. That guy that was with me this week, the pastor, I think that's why he was more in things in front of him than some other people, because his wife's a nurse. Amen. But I'm simply making the point tonight, this morning, of this. We need to be careful and don't be worried about nothing, the Bible said. We can take precautions. We can be smart about things. We can be prepared for things. We can be concerned even about something. But there's a difference between that and worrying. Amen. There's a difference between that and becoming anxious about something. There's a difference between that and getting it so consuming us that we become distracted. Amen. If you will. You think about today, be careful for nothing, if you will. You think about today, we often do this type of thing. So we should then be careful for nothing, the Bible tells us. And I just listed off a bunch of things, and there's more things we could list too, but he said nothing. But instead, the second part of the verse, the Bible said, in everything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. I have wrote here beside this verse in my Bible that I wrote at some point a while back, verse 6 and 7. We're getting ready to tie them together here in a minute. But prayer and peace go together. Amen. Prayer and peace go together. In other words, what does the Bible say? Don't be anxious. Don't be worried. Don't be careful for nothing. But instead, what you need to do, that's not saying don't take precautions in the sense of be careful like we say today, but we explained that. But instead, what we ought to do is in everything that we do in our lives, we ought to do it by prayer. Amen? By supplication. And then when we're praying to God, when we're supplicating with God, when we're telling Him what our requests are, then what else are we supposed to do? Don't forget, give God thanks. Amen? A lot of times when we do go to God and we do pray to Him, what do? We have our wish list like Santa Claus. Amen? We're writing a list out to God of the things He wants us to do. And He's telling us here, hey, you go to God, make your request known, don't worry about those things, give them to Him, only trust Him, only trust Him. Amen? As we sung the song a while ago from the hymn book about trusting Jesus. Amen? Only trust Him. We ought to take and trust the Lord. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Amen? Just give it to Him in prayer. Trust Him. He's in control. You can't control the situation, but to a point. Amen? I can drink this sanitizer, wash my whole body in it, and guess what could still... That'd be nasty. But guess what could still happen? I could still get it. You can take and do everything in the world you can do to prevent whatever thing it is in your life. But guess what still happens? You still get it. I think about my heart doctor I had years ago since she said that. The first heart doctor I ever had, he come in with his tennis shoes on. The nurse told me, you know why he has those tennis shoes on? I said, why? She said, because he runs everywhere he goes. She said he'll run up down the hallways. He'll take and run a certain amount of miles before he comes to work every day. He'll take and do all this, she said. You know why? He loves to run marathons. He's a runner. You know what I got in the mail one day? I've told y'all this before. A note saying, guess what? My heart doctor died from a heart attack. I need to find another one. Well, did he do wrong by doing any of that? No, he didn't. But you know what? It just goes to show, no matter how much you do, there's only so much control that you have. We ought to do the things we ought to do. We ought to take care of our bodies. We ought to try to prevent stuff. We definitely should. But guess what? In the end, God's in His sovereignty. In the end, God's in control. Amen? He's the only one that can stop or allow or whatever. God's in control of it. That's why in everything that we do by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Simply give it to Him, trust Him, and thank Him for what He's going to do and what He can do and He will do and He has done. Amen? Instead of worrying, instead of getting distracted, getting our hearts and minds distracted, look to the God that's in control of everything, the one that can control the situation, if you will. Look to Him, the Bible says. I like the words to that song Kelly sung a while ago. It says, I don't know about tomorrow, and I don't. Amen. You might think you do, but you really don't either. Amen. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future. Lord, help us all, for I know what Jesus said, and today I'll walk beside Him, for He knows what is ahead. Amen. The Lord knows. Amen. He holds it. He's the only one that can control it. He's the only one that can ultimately do anything about it. There's only so much I can do, but guess what? I know a God who can do anything. Amen. Give it to Him. Prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. But I like the next verse that ties in with this. Verse 7, we said prayer and peace go together. Verse number 7, the Bible says, and the peace of God. Now we'll stop right there for a minute. This is just a thought the Lord gave me. I told you sometimes to me, sometimes I think we overthink things, and I'm not going there. That's a whole other message. But sometimes the deepest things are the simplest things. This verse, there was something else the Lord jumped off the page at me about I had never seen before. Read the first part of that verse again, somebody. And the peace
of God.
Stop right there. I want to ask you a question. Think about it. Don't just answer it out loud. Think about it to yourself. What kind of peace does God have in His life? I've never thought about that before. I've never asked myself that question before. I've never had anybody ask me that question before. I'm sure somebody else somewhere is asking. But I ask you, think about that just for a minute. Let that sink in. Kind of meditate, Selah, on that. What kind of peace does God have? Well, now let's talk about it. You think about the peace that God has. Well, does God ever worry about anything?
No.
Does God ever fret about anything? Does God ever get anxious about anything? Does God ever say, as the old saying goes, uh-oh, that caught me by surprise. I didn't know that was going to happen. As the old saying goes that explains that, did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? Right? So what type of peace does God have? You think about that and let that sink in. I hope it does something for you like it's been doing for me. What kind of peace does God have? Because, you know, a lot of times we look at somebody else and we do this. Brother Neil don't even seem to be worried about this corona. He might have a financial problem, or Karen has a financial problem come along, and she just goes on, and it don't seemingly bother her at all whatsoever. She ain't worried about the money. Brother Neil, he ain't worried about the corona. He's got his own pen. Amen? And I'm going to do that starting tomorrow. I'm dead serious, too. I thought about it. I said, Lord, I'm taking my own pen starting tomorrow. Amen? I ain't sharing everybody's pen at Bilo. I learned something. But anyway, you know what? I thought about that. I said, you know, sometimes I look at people and I say, boy, I wish I could have the peace she does about her money. I wish I could have the peace he does about things. He just don't seemingly never worry about anything. But let's be honest. There's not one person on this earth that doesn't worry. I don't care who you are this morning. There's not one person on this earth that don't get anxious about certain things. You might not. Your button might be different than somebody else's other button, like it comes to temptations. Amen. But let me say, the devil knows, and the Lord will allow sometimes some things to come in our lives to see this button. In other words, I'm simply saying this. We shouldn't look at a person, we never should, right? And say, boy, I want the peace he has or she has. I think instead what Paul's saying here in this verse is the peace of who? God. That's the peace. The peace that God has that you was trying to think about for a few minutes a while ago. That He has. That's the peace that ought to be in our hearts. Not the peace Karen or Neil has. Not the peace that the next door neighbor has. But the peace that God has. That's the best peace in the world. How much peace does God have? Think about that. And the peace of God, He's the Prince of Peace after all. Amen. The peace of God, which passeth what? All understanding. I don't know about you, but even the most peaceful person in my life that I've ever met that has had peace of mind and heart about things and always seemingly let the water roll off their back like a duck, as we say, guess what? Sometimes you catch them in the right circumstance, guess what they'll do? They won't have no peace about something. It'll happen. It'll happen. In other words, what am I saying? To have the peace of God, guess what that peace does? It passes all my understanding. Don't it pass yours? To think about the peace of God, it passes all understanding. That's why sometimes we can look at certain people when they do go through things and not say, help me to have peace like they do, but instead say, you know what? It's God's peace that they have that allows them to be that way. It's the peace of God. Amen. May the Lord help us to see that. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall. Guess what? That's a promise, I believe. Amen. When He says it shall. Amen. The peace of God that passes all everybody's understanding, guess what it'll do? It shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In other words, this peace can do what? It'll keep your heart. Amen. It'll keep your heart. I think about, I heard a doctor say in passing this week on the news, she kind of said it quick, but she made the point, and we all know it's true. She said, don't get worried, don't get panicked, don't get upset about it. Just take precautions. She said, because if you do, and she went into explaining this thing real very quickly about how the fact when you do it, the chemicals that your body puts out, it does this and lowers your immune system. So then you're more likely to get the corona if you're sitting around worrying about it. Yeah. That applies to everything else too, by the way. Amen. That's why Paul's saying here, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and what? Minds. Amen. Remember we said a while ago that word careful, we talked about the idea of distracted. Amen. Now he says keeping your hearts and what? Minds. Through Christ Jesus. It's through Him only that we can do this with His help. When we do this, the peace of God. Peace of God will pass all understanding. It'll help keep our hearts. It'll help keep our minds through Christ Jesus. Simply put, today we ought to take and give it to God in prayer. And then He'll give the peace in our hearts and the peace in our minds that we need for His honor and for His glory. Amen? You think about simply today, I thought about the words to that old song, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. I like this part especially. Oh, what peace. The peace of God. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Think about what the word forfeit means, just to give it up. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. What did the verse say? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, when you do that, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I believe there's a promise that goes along with what He said in verse number 6. Prayer and peace go together. Today, no matter what you may be facing, as Paul said here in these verses, through the inspiration of the Lord, I believe we can sum it up this way in a long sentence. No matter what we may be facing, Paul said, let others see us not getting angry, frustrated, anxious, or worried, but instead trusting God that He is in control and giving Him our situations of life. And I believe this, that in the end, they might see Him. that they might want to come to know Him in the way that we do.